Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, highlights from Wednesday night's one and only state Supreme Court debate between Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel and Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford. Ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. At stake in the Tuesday, April 1st spring election is a 10-year term on Wisconsin's High Court. Liberal Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is stepping down, and that means the 4-3 liberal majority in the High Court is tenuous. If Judge Crawford of Dane County wins, the state's progressives will hold on to the majority control of the state Supreme Court. If former Attorney General turned Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel wins, conservatives would regain the majority on the High Court. This past Wednesday night, WISN-TV's political director Matt Smith and his co-host on the state syndicated Upfront show, Jaron Jordan, hosted the one and only debate between the two candidates before the early voting starts this Tuesday. We begin with Judge Crawford answering the question, what's at stake in this race?
I think a lot is at stake. The future of our state for our kids and our grandkids and the fundamental rights and freedoms of everyone in Wisconsin. I've worked throughout my career to protect the rights of Wisconsinites and keep our community safe, first as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, then as an attorney representing the rights of ordinary Wisconsinites in our courts, and now as a judge on the circuit court, where every day I make sure that I'm making common sense decisions, protecting the rights of the parties in front of me under our laws, and making sure that everyone gets their day in court. I'm running to be a fair, impartial justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and to protect the rights of Wisconsinites from that statewide venue. I think that is what this race is all about.
Judge Schimmel, what specifically is at stake in this race?
The stakes are huge. I don't know they could be bigger. I've never been involved in anything where the stakes were bigger than this. And if you told me 5 years ago the Wisconsin Supreme Court would be going through a political agenda, I would have said you're crazy. They stay within some guardrails, but that's not happening now. I watched in 2023 how a candidate who ended up winning on the Supreme Court promised on the campaign trail how they would rule on cases that weren't even filed yet. And then, worse, once she was in the majority on the court, that majority started going through that political agenda. It's critical in our constitutional republic that the political branches do the politics. The legislature makes the law. The executive enforces it. Sorry to do the high school civics, but I think some people need to know this. The judiciary doesn't get involved in the politics. The judiciary approaches cases objectively. I do that every day in my courtroom. When I put on the black robe, I'm like an umpire in baseball. I'm not rooting for any team. I am rooting for the law to prevail in that court. I'm going to look at the facts objectively. You know, judges take a different oath than other public officials, because other public officials, just like judges and justices, we swear to uphold and defend the Constitution. Judges have an added part where we swear that we will administer justice without regard to persons. That doesn't mean we don't care about people. What it means is that it doesn't matter who the person in front of us is. Justice is blind. Justice is no longer blind on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That's what's at stake. We have to restore objectivity.
We're going to break down all these issues, and we're going to have a conversation about it over the next hour.
I'd love to respond to some of what Judge Schimmel said, if I might.
Sure.
You know, he is paying good lip service to the principles of impartiality and open-mindedness. But throughout this campaign, he has taken issues on cases pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, including cases like one involving an 1849 abortion law that, if it were in effect, would criminalize pretty much all abortions in Wisconsin. He has openly said, when he's in front of audiences of his political allies, that there is nothing wrong with that law and it should be enforced. That is not the kind of open-mindedness that we expect from judges. It is prejudicial to the parties in that case, and Brad Schimmel is making those pronouncements not based on the law in that case or the facts or the arguments of the attorneys, but based on political considerations.
I can't let that go.
Quickly, and we'll get to abortion.
Very fine. My opponent had someone there recording that speech. She knows what the whole speech is, not just the few seconds that they released to the media. I was asked if the 1849 was a valid law. 1849 law was a valid law. And the answer is, my answer was, it was passed by two houses of the legislature and signed by a governor. That means it's a valid law. But what I said next was that there's a real question as to whether that law reflects the will of the people of Wisconsin now and today.
Let's talk about abortion.
Great.
So you believe the 1849 law is valid?
It was a validly passed law.
Today.
I don't believe that it reflects the will of the people of Wisconsin today.
Judge, do you believe that law is valid today, the 1849 law?
Well, Matt, this is an issue that's pending before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The parties in those cases have filed briefs, they've made legal arguments, they've presented evidence in support of their decision, and I'm not in a position to weigh in at this point. It would be prejudicial to the parties in that case for me to do so. So, you know, what I can tell you is that as a lawyer in Wisconsin, I've represented organizations like Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors back when Roe versus Wade was in case, making sure that women could make their own choices about their bodies and their health care. As a woman, as somebody who has gone through pregnancy, labor, and birth, I want to make my own health care decisions, and I trust women to do that.
Let me set the stage real quick for our viewers just on where everything is with abortion. Justices have yet to rule on a case involving the legality of the 1849 law. Another case brought by Planned Parenthood is pending, asking justices to decide whether there's a constitutional right to an abortion in Wisconsin. So, Judge Schimmel, you have routinely said you're pro-life and make no apologies for that. You signed on to a 2012 legal paper from Wisconsin Right to Life advocating a plan to make abortion illegal and keep the 1849 law in place if Roe was overturned. You've told supporters you don't believe there's a constitutional right to abortion. Is that a fair position? Is that your position?
No, I think there's some things you've said that aren't correct. I've been clear from the day I got in this race on my position on abortion. My family is somewhat unique. Two 18-year-old young women at the time, 23 and 21 years ago, gave my wife and I the chance to have a family we can't have biologically. Because of that sacrifice, my wife and I treasure those two young women. And we treasure life even when it's not planned. But judges don't make the law. As a judge, no judge or justice should be deciding this issue for the voters of Wisconsin. This issue belongs in their hands. And should it be decided by the voters, or should it be decided by four justices and a majority on the court? And if four justices on the majority in the court can make that decision for the voters, that decision can flip back and forth every time the majority flips. We have to let the voters make this decision. I've been clear on that. Now, my opponent talks about taking positions on cases. When she ran for judge in Dane County, she proudly declared that she was the lawyer that went after the abortion restrictions that were put in place. She proudly declared that she was the lawyer that went after voter ID. She was the lawyer that went after Act 10. She bragged about that when she was running in Dane County. Now that she's running and has to run in 71 other counties as well, now she backs off from things she was once proud of campaigning as a judge. Again, the 1849 law, those oral arguments were completed 5 months ago from yesterday. I don't know why the Supreme Court hasn't been able to issue that decision yet, but I think they're playing politics. They're waiting until after this election to keep the 1849 law a live issue. That 1849 law is going to be resolved by the Supreme Court long before I take the bench on August 1st. And what I said about the Constitution, I said that the word abortion doesn't appear in the Wisconsin Constitution. So if there's a constitutional right there to abortion, someone's going to have to make a creative legal argument to explain where that is implied within that Constitution.
This is Chippewa Valley This Week on FM 103.1, AM 680, WOGO.com, and 103.7 FM and WIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson. You've been listening to the opening portion of the State Supreme Court debate, the one and only debate ahead of the election April 1st for a 10-year term on Wisconsin's High Court, and it'll determine whether or not the state Supreme Court stays in a left-leaning direction with a current 4-3 majority or with Justice Ann Walsh Bradley retiring part of that 4-3 liberal majority. If conservative Justice Brad Schimmel of Waukesha County and also the former Republican Attorney General, if he prevails, then the court will take on more of a 4-3 conservative majority. We're listening to highlights from the debate this past Wednesday night. Moderated by WISN-TV in Milwaukee's political director Matt Smith and his co-host on the state-syndicated Upfront show. We turn now to a question asked by Jaron Jordan regarding the barrage of ads we've been relegated to leading up to and through April 1st. Jordan asks this question.
You have both accused each other of being soft on crime in these TV ads. Judge Schimmel, you recently accused Judge Crawford of being an ally to child rapists and violent criminals. Judge Crawford, you have recently accused Judge Schimmel of allowing rapists to roam the streets while rape kits went untested as Attorney General. Since the court does not sentence violent criminals or determine how the state manages DNA testing, a question for both of you, but we'll start with Judge Crawford. Why have you made this a prominent part of your campaign?
Well, look, I think that voters deserve to know what our records are. And I worked as a statewide prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, taking cases all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and making sure that our communities were safe. I'm proud of the work that I did as a prosecutor, and I'm proud of the work that I did later representing Wisconsinites in our courtrooms, protecting their health care rights, protecting their voting rights, and protecting their rights in the workplace. I don't shy away from that record. I am proud of the work that I've done. And I think it is important for voters to know about Brad Schimmel's record, too. He's the one who, as Attorney General, because he was pursuing other partisan right-wing lawsuits, like trying to take health care away from people, left over 6,000 sexual assault kits, the kits that may contain the DNA that can identify the perpetrators of those crimes. He failed to get them tested for years. And in a period of over 2 years, he only got 9 kits out of 6,000 tested. And then he lied about it. He told the press that he had had hundreds of kits tested. That was wrong. Earlier, he'd said, oh, there is no backlog, when indeed there was a backlog. So I think it's important for the voters to understand not only that Brad Schimmel failed to take care of that top public safety priority, left those victims, who were mainly women and children, waiting for years while he pursued things like trying to overturn the legal protections that people have when they have pre-existing health conditions, to not allow health insurance executives to take away their coverage.
Judge Schimmel, we'll let you respond to that as well, but I do want to ask the same question. Why you've made your campaign, a prominent part of your campaign, has been on the negative record of Susan Crawford, Judge Crawford.
My opponent can't even be honest about her own record. She calls herself a prosecutor who put dangerous criminals away. She never did that. I spent 25 years as a frontline prosecutor in the Waukesha DA's office. I was the guy they called at 3 a.m. to go to the crime scene. I was the guy who worked with law enforcement to build that case from the crime scene all the way to conviction. I was the shoulder that crime victims cried on time and time again. My opponent never did that. She never stood in front of a jury and argued as a sword and shield for that crime victim to get justice for them. That's a difference between us. When she started claiming she was a prosecutor, I needed to start pointing out that she's not. And with the cases she decided, there's not an equation here. She criticizes me on some cases where I was the prosecutor, or as a judge where I followed the recommendation of victims. She has repeatedly just ignored the pleas of victims to lock up dangerous offenders. A man who sexually assaulted a 5-year-old child repeatedly, she had to testify at trial. The jury convicted. My opponent still refused to revoke bond, the $500 signature bond she released him on. She let him live near us across the street from an elementary school. She didn't change any of that after he was convicted. And then at sentencing time, in spite of the pleas of the victim, she ultimately gave that offender a sentence that resulted in him being in prison for less than 2 years after that sentencing date. This is a dangerous flaw in my opponent's judgment, and that's just one example of many.
Sure. You know, Brad Schimmel has given dozens of people convicted of crimes like domestic violence, sexual assaults, and abuse of children short jail sentences or no jail sentences, and those offenders have gone on to reoffend. I'll stand by the cases. They have focused between him and Elon Musk. They have focused on two cases out of thousands that I've handled where I sentenced people to prison and then followed that with several years of extended supervision. Those two people are still on supervision. They have not committed any new crimes, and they will be on the sex offender registry for the rest of their lives. So I think that voters need to focus on Brad Schimmel's record. He is somebody who has blamed victims, said things like with child sexual assaults, that the child was responsible because she went to a party, or
it
is not a lie.
If you have the transcript,
it was a first date situation. He has let people go and they have reoffended. That has not happened in the cases that they're highlighting of mine.
Let me ask you about these
If I can also just respond to his claim that I wasn't a prosecutor. I was a statewide prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. I handled both county-level prosecutions of health care fraud and patient abuse, and I also took cases to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Those are cases that are the most relevant for service on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, cases that involve the development of the law and the kinds of legal arguments that you have to consider when you're making decisions that are going to involve statewide precedent that every prosecutor in the state will be bound by.
To both of you, quick on these ads we're seeing. You referenced one. In 2020, you did sentence a child sex offender to 4 years in prison after prosecutors requested 10. Do you regret that sentence?
Yes. I don't regret that sentence because I followed the law in that case,
Judge,
as I always do. I applied the law, which says that judges have to consider every relevant factor in sentencing. You have to consider both the aggravating and mitigating factors. And the Supreme Court has said you have to order the minimum amount of prison time you believe is necessary to protect the public. That's what I did in that case and every other case. And my goal is always to keep the community safe. And those have been sentences that have been successful. They have kept the community safe, unlike the short jail sentences that Brad Schimmel has entered over and over, where people have gone on to commit new crimes. That's when you know the sentence has failed.
To some of the ads people have seen about you, Judge Schimmel, 9 rape kits tested in your first 2 years as Attorney General. Do you regret that?
My opponent just revealed the problem in her judgment, that in weighing all the factors, giving the minimum amount of time to a dangerous sex offender weighs higher than protecting the community. That's what she just revealed to
you. That is not what I said.
And she has not found one case.
The court requires you to order the sentence.
Go ahead.
The sentence necessary to protect the community. And that's what I have done, and that's what those sentences did.
Judge Schimmel, on rape kits.
By the way, on her ads, she hasn't found one case in her ads where I failed to follow the wishes of the victim and the prosecutor. The sentences I gave were at least what the victim and the prosecutor recommended in every one of them. On the rape kits, let's talk about numbers. She puts it in terms of numbers. When I got to the Department of Justice, for 25 years, those rape kits had been neglected in police departments, storerooms, and hospital storerooms. When I got to the Department of Justice, during that 25 years, my opponent had spent 12 years as a manager and then Attorney General Doyle's Department of Justice, and as the chief legal counsel for Governor Jim Doyle, 12 years. She didn't lift a finger. She didn't do anything to try to solve this problem. So it was left to when I got to state government in 2015, we had zero kits tested. About 3.5 years later, every kit that needed to be tested was done. But in the interim, let's talk about some more numbers. We had to conduct a statewide inventory. We didn't even know how many kits were out there. We had to go to every single police department in Wisconsin, every hospital storeroom, find out where the kits were, how many there were, what the case circumstances were. And when I left the Department of Justice, that problem was solved, and we put in place a process where this will never happen again.
Just quickly, do you regret the first 2 years of your time as AG?
We did this exactly the way we needed to. And the architect of that program is now Justice Jill Karofsky. We worked together. I had her as my director of the Office of Crime Victim Services, and I'll tell you, There's nobody in the state that would have done a better job than she did in that role. But this was her plan. We implemented it. She had been planning this before I got the Department of Justice. When I got there, she was waiting for an attorney general to finally give someone the green light to do it. And when I gave that green light, we solved this problem.
Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimel and Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford from their one and only debate ahead of the April 1st spring election for a 10-year term in the state's high court. That debate held this past Wednesday night, hosted by WISN-TV in Milwaukee and moderated by WISN-TV's political director, Matt Smith, and his co-host on Upfront, Jaron Jordan. I'm Mark Halverson, thanking you for joining us for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.